When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are at Metropolitan Health Group at 4454 Transcontinental Drive. I just want to thank the many people that have come by and dropped bags of groceries off. We really appreciate it. It's for a great cause. It's for, the food bank, and they do such great work all the time, and we really appreciate everything that they do at Second Harvest, and we're very excited about this. And if you want to make a cash donation as well, you can just simply call Second Harvest Food Bank at 504-355-0025, and I know that that's the first call that Michael Heck's going to make when I get rid of him this afternoon. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you. No, well, look, you know, this is part of my past that is less well known, but I actually worked for a Second Harvest food bank in New York City, biggest food bank in America, for 2 years, leading their corporate section. So I'm deeply familiar with and kind of an always part of the food bank sector. So, no, I'm already there. We volunteered. Our son Kai did a cooking program for Second Harvest, out there. And Elmwood, it's a great organization, one of the better ones in the country, in my opinion. And it's not only great for people, it's great for the environment to make sure that we minimize food waste.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better myself. Michael, I wanted to give an update on your pothole, still smooth as a baby's rear. I drove by there the other night. It is happening, baby, there on Porter Street.
Well, thank you. You know, like, and I'm pleased about that. And I was saying to somebody that I think we need to put like a headstone, like here lies Michael's personal pothole 2005 to 2024. But then somebody else said, you got to remember those potholes, they're like Michael from Friday the 13th. Like, they're going to come back. So, you know, I guess in Friday the 13th, you need to have a shovel ready to bang him on the head. I think here when you're shovel ready to put in more dirt, but
absolutely
a pothole.
So let's start out, let's get an update of where we stand. How many days now away from Super Bowl 59?
So we're 53 days away from kickoff, which means that we're under 50 days in terms of, you know, actual festivities started, because they start a week before. So we're basically in the red zone of this thing. And the good part, the exciting part, is you're beginning to actually see the results, whether it's Poydras Street being smooth as glass, or right near there, that mural, that the biggest mural he's ever done, that B. Mike is painting, that he's making incredibly quick progress on the Hill Garage overlooking Duncan Plaza. We're beginning to see the fruits of our efforts and our shuttle diplomacy beginning to blossom, to ripen, and that's really exciting, really gratifying. So we're going to see a lot of murals that are starting to go up. A gorgeous one's going to be on the Civil Courthouse or on Poydras and Loyola. There's going to be a big mural going on the Girard Gateway towards the Superdome, the ferry terminal as well. a big Shep Ferry. He's a guy that did the Obama Hope poster, is going to be on the side of the Marriott entering into the French Quarter. So all that's going on. And then down in the French Quarter, they've started work. Charter Street is getting repaved. We're beginning to get the new lights put up. We've got the contract signed to get signage put up. We saw that there's an emergency garbage contract that was won by Sidney Torres, SD4 Waste. And that's exciting because to this day, people still talk about that lemony fresh smell they had from back when he had the contract last, back about 10 years ago. So, we're kind of into crunch time now, but it feels like so far things are coming together, and so I'm more than cautiously optimistic. No, I'm downright optimistic.
Michael, I got to tell you, last Wednesday evening, I was at Giana for the Feast of the Seven Fishes, which, by the way, one of the best meals I've ever had. And congratulations to their staff there. It was just absolutely incredible. But we walked up and they were tearing the street up, like three or four blocks of Girard Street. And within, I'm going to say under an hour, they had like four blocks stripped of Girard. And by the time we finished our meal, which was a feast, it truly was a feast, and came out, they had already had the sweepers out there removing all the debris and everything else. It was incredible.
Well, so first of all, I'm glad you mentioned Giana. It's kind of, I think, of the Donald Link restaurants, the one that gets the least attention. And I agree. I think it's absolutely delicious. By the way, went to the new Bon Temps Prime the other night. That was gorgeous as well, right up the street. But I agree. One of the fun things about seeing this construction work is, we're so used to seeing the construction work just stop and begin to revegetate and kind of become like its own biosystem. That when stuff happens like in normal time, it's like watching up like sped up photography of the evolution of the earth. It's amazing.
You gotta laugh to keep from crying.
but we gotta remember, like, anybody who has seen the city clean up after a parade knows that we have the capacity to do stuff as quickly and as well as anybody. And it's just a matter of applying that Mardi Gras parade will to the regular, maintenance of the streets. And it's happening now. We've got great contractors. I think people are feeling the pressure of the deadline, but in a positive way. And listen, another thing I want to mention, this is really important. Starting today, we're going to begin putting out a press release every Wednesday that's going to be an infrastructure update. It's going to go to all of our partners, all the press. It's going to include what's already been completed so we can take a victory lap. It's going to most importantly highlight what's happening this week so people can plan their schedules. And then it's going to talk about the future work. And it's also going to include an estimation of how long the work is going to last, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, so we can reinforce to people that, yes, it's true that the Super Bowl has been kind of the catalyzing factor, but these improvements that we're living through right now are going to benefit us for decades. We're cleaning up stuff that was done up the World's Fair 40 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. The way that you just articulated it, I guess you sense the excitement in my voice as to how quick they tore the street up and they were sweeping the debris and it was all done, and over the course of one meal. We're not used to that. What you guys have pulled together is going to continue after the Super Bowl, because I know you will admit that there's a lot of money still available that hadn't been spent from Katrina.
It's a really important point. So a couple of things there. One is everybody on our side, on the Jana Wing side, I've talked to Joe Thread, who's been doing a magnificent job for the city on his side, and the folks at DOTD and Sewer and Water Board. Everybody agrees the day after, we want to continue this rhythm of regular weekly meetings to then, use, let's say, Mardi Gras as the next goalpost, and then Jazz Fest, and then Essence, and continue to do the work around the city because it's benefiting everybody. Everybody's enjoying it. one of the questions I frequently get is, how much money is this costing you? How much new money? And I think it's really important for people to understand that, with the exception of a small amount of money that Jimmy Harris was able to get from us from the state working with the administration and DOTD, the vast majority of the tens of millions that's being spent is existing budgets, existing money, existing grants. We're just now actually executing. And so that's always been the constraint. Has not been money, has not been capacity. It's been just the will to implement. And so it's we can continue this the day after the day after.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we get closer, are we experiencing more and more visits from the NFL, and what are you hearing?
Yeah, so the NFL is going to be basically with us full-time. That's really the effort that Jay Cicero at the Sports Foundation is really the master at. He's been doing this since the 90s. What I'm understanding from the NFL, from all sources, and the NFL itself, is that they're thrilled with the progress. They think that New Orleans is ahead of the curve in terms of cooperation, in terms of preparation. And you heard what Goodell said about the Superdome when he visited a few weeks ago. He said it was, quote, magnificent. And that bodes well not just for this Super Bowl, but really importantly for the next Super Bowl. Because when you talk to folks like Marcus Brown, who's running the Super Bowl committee, or the Saints, we want to do well now, but we know that the competition is only going to increase. They're going to be building a new stadium in Nashville next. And so we really have to use this event on the 9th and the week before, not just to show the world a New Orleans that shines, but frankly, it's the beginning of the process of getting the next Super Bowl, hopefully over the next decade. And so far, the fact that the NFL has been so pleased with what they've been seeing and hearing augurs well for that.
Absolutely. Michael, a couple of holiday headlines, as you point out. Capato, a Chicago-based technology company specializing in AI-powered business software, has made an announcement. Tell us about it.
Yeah, now, neither you nor I really know what AI-powered business software development at enterprise scale really means. It sounds like an NPR ad. But it's a great company. The founder of the company is from New Orleans. He's basically coming home. We're going to start out with about 20 jobs at a salary of about $80,000, so great jobs. Our intention is basically to move the entire company down here, and I think that we're going to do it. So we're seeing these massive announcements like the Meta one up in the Northwest. Then we're seeing these mid-sized ones like DAQA, DACA, and this one, Capato, that we just announced recently. And I think this, combined with everything that's happening on the industrial side, demonstrates a level of momentum in the economy that we haven't seen in a little while. So I find it very encouraging.
I had a chance, opportunity to visit with your former employee, Josh Flake, with LED, now Louisiana Economic Development, talking about the AI facility by Meta up in Richland Parish. That sounds absolutely incredible. Big spend, too.
It's big spend, but here's, I think, what's most important about it. I mean, the project itself is massive, $10 billion, 500 jobs. 500 jobs in the northwest of Louisiana is of generational importance. This is one of the most impoverished parts of the country, so it's really significant. But the bigger deal is this, and I don't want to speak ill of the past, but the reason why we don't have car manufacturing and all the benefits today, including EV manufacturing, frankly goes back to the 80s when other states and other governors were going and meeting Mr. Toyota or going to Germany to meet with BMW. We didn't do that. And as a result, we're one of the only southern states that was left out of the entire automotive wave and the tens of thousands of jobs we could have had because of that. So the fact that we're getting in at the front end of AI and that Governor Landry recognizes this and is embracing it is really, really significant at a generational economic level for Louisiana, because it means that we're actually getting in on the front end of this wave instead of watching others catch it and pass us by. So not to get you know, kind of lyrical with this, but I think it's of transcendent importance.
Absolutely. Also, we have our little own Doge effort by Governor Landry as well, right?
Yeah, we got like Cajun Doge, right? Like, we got to figure out. But
Jamba Doge.
Yeah, yeah, Jambalaya Doge, or I don't know, Dobert's Doge, or I don't know. Okay. So
enough of that.
It's interesting. Yeah, when you talk to people about the Trump administration, the one thing that pretty much everybody seems to agree on, regardless of political stripes, is that it's exciting and interesting to have folks looking at making the federal government more efficient. You know, you and I and many others have worked in government, have worked with the federal government. There's just no question that this is a beast that needs to be put on a diet in terms of its numbers, in terms of its spend, because we're hemorrhaging money as a country, and that's going to be a problem over time, but also in terms of efficiency and speed. And that's not just for oil and gas projects, that's for green projects as well. Here in Louisiana, it just naturally is the same thing. I've worked at the state of Louisiana. There are thousands of you know, really well-meaning, smart people who love the state working there. But yeah, same thing. We can trim down, we can become more efficient, we can upgrade our technology. And so, frankly, I think that every government should be doing this. I think it should be happening in all of our parishes and cities as well. Because just like with your business, if you're not continually trying to figure out how you can get more with less, you're going to get beat by the competition. And in this age of constrained resources, particularly for the state, we need to do it. So, yeah, I don't know exactly the form it's going to take yet, but the idea of a down-home Doge, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's always important to look at oneself critically in the mirror, right? And whether or not you re-engineer, you right-size, whatever term you want to throw at it, it's worth the effort to look at oneself.
It is. And, you know, if you're not doing that, then you're not being a good caretaker of the public dollar, which is your constitutional obligation. And, you know, the fact that when we get, for example, a contract signed out of government, any level of government, city, state, federal, that we tend to send one of those, like, you know, dancing emojis, it shouldn't be like that. The signed contract should be accompanied with a thank you, not with I just won the lottery. And so I think we're going to see for the entire country this focus on governmental and public efficiency, I think is timely, and it's going to be useful for all of us, for all ordinary citizens.
Absolutely. Michael, this was released the other day. I was like, you're kidding me. Venture Global Quick Ignition, they started production. I mean, it was like, what? Already? And of course, immediately, yeah. The Biden, thank you so much for dropping the, we had someone just dropping groceries off here for Second Harvest. It's great. But it was like the Biden administration, Jennifer Granholm, they issue a report saying, oh, none of this is good. Exportation of LNG is bad, bad, bad. And we're going to end up paying more for our own gas here locally as a result of the exportation of LNG. I don't really think they understand what they're talking about.
Well, either they don't understand what they're talking about or they're lying. And I don't know which is worse. I was at a luncheon yesterday with Jamie Dimon, who tracks his stuff carefully. And he had just toured the Venture Global facility. And what he was talking about is not just the marvel of the facility and the speed with which a $20 billion facility was built. And by the way, Newell, I just want to take a victory lap. I got my personal pothole filled before they got that
before
factory.
Before they
opened,
got that.
Okay? So take that, Venture Global. Right? How's that for efficiency?
Pays to know people in high places.
It pays to know low people in high places, Venture Global. But the thing is that What our natural gas that's coming out of Louisiana, which is now exporting over 60% of the country's natural gas, we're not only creating billions of investment and thousands of great-paying jobs locally, we are creating geopolitical stability in Europe, because now Europe is able to get domestic American gas instead of buying it from the Russian war machine. And then for the environmental people, it's absolute insanity because they know, or they should know, that if places like China and other places in Asia are not getting American natural gas, they are going to burn coal, including, by the way, American coal that we export right down the river. And whatever you think about natural gas, there is zero question that natural gas is less harmful for the environment than burning dirty coal. So I don't get the science. I don't get the politics. I don't get the rhetoric of attacking LNG. I think it's a losing proposition all the way around. And I wish they would just tamp it down for everybody's sake, including their own, frankly.
Well, and interestingly, let's just carry this to the next level. I praise the New Orleans City Council's Utility Committee for unanimously approving the Entergy request to sell their gas utility operations. And they show up there trying to make a big climate change argument over how this is bad.
I mean, well, like... the best part is, I'm not going to call you out by name, but somebody testified to the council that they should reject this contract and they should convert the entire city of New Orleans from gas and nuclear to electrical. And I'm watching this and I'm saying, where does the electricity come from? Does this guy have a corral of unicorns and he's making electricity out of unicorn? Can I say fart on the radio?
Yeah.
Like, where does the electricity come from? It comes from gas or nuclear. So I think that the environmental movement is not served by people who go to the extreme and make statements that are easily disprovable or that don't consider a balanced approach. Everybody wants to protect the environment. Everybody wants clean drinking water. Everybody also wants to have heat available in the wintertime and wants to avoid being dependent on despots. There is a middle way, and I think that Louisiana, with this all-of-the-above cleaner energy future, you know, there's a big article in paper today about offshore wind off of Louisiana. We can do all of this, and we can do it in a smart way. And I commend the council for making this approval because this is all part of that story.
Obviously, you're not in the know because that electricity comes from the cloud, doesn't it? I mean...
Exactly. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like this. You remember that meme of the Tesla owner in California who was charging his Tesla with a gas-powered generator?
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, that's happening.
Okay. It's happening, brother. Like, look, I have no problem with EVs. I like them. I think that hydrogen. But the reality is that unless you have solar panels on your roof of your home and you're using the sun to charge your EV, you're still using fossil fuels. Like,
yes.
This is just like, you know, you can throw a pile on a tarp of logs. I still know there's wood underneath there, right? You can't hide.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.